Jesus is our shepherd. This weekend is kind of the Good Shepherd weekend, we often call it. We hear this reading from the gospel. How does Jesus feed his flock and how does he lead his flock? Well, there's some practical things, you know, certainly through his body, the church. He teaches us what is true about ourselves so that we can know how to live, how we ought to live. He tells us how to attain eternal life. He loves us and invites us to share his life with him. Our shepherd seeks to seek out the lost and the straying sheep. And how does he do that? Well, he notices when someone isn't following Christ and maybe they need to be reached out to. He invites someone to come and follow Christ again and refutes errors that might be an obstacle to someone following Christ. These things Christ does through his church, through the body of Christ, which is each one of us. So we are the hands and feet that go out and do this work. What is the hired man? He talks about that in the gospel. I would say any Catholic leader, whether they're a priest, a bishop, a parent even, a catechist, a parishioner, who doesn't care for the flock. They're the hired man, right? We might at times all be like the hired men and not really fulfilling our role to be shepherds. We allow the wolves to scatter and to prey upon the sheep, or we mistreat the sheep and use them for our own ends. This is what it is to be the hired man. Now, Christ has laid down his life for us, and he feeds us with his body and blood, the Eucharist. I'd like to talk about that a little bit today. Christ instituted the sacrament of the Eucharist so that we could be fed, not only in our bodies and spiritually, but also literally in the Eucharist coming into our very selves. He wants to feed us both spiritually and physically. To receive the Eucharist, we must be living in that covenantal relationship with Christ. And that means to be in union with Christ in a public way and to be in that full committed relationship with his church as well. You might make that comparison at times when a husband and a wife share life together. It can be either fruitful and life-giving, or it can be burdensome and restrictive if we look at it that way. The difference is, how does the couple give themselves to each other? How do they live in that union together? How do they share their life together? And are they faithful to one another? So many aspects go into that, but in general, that's what we say is a happy marriage is when they do those things well, and a difficult, challenging marriage is when those things seem to be challenging or falling apart. Now, if they're faithful to one another, this leads to goodness. And if they're unfaithful, you know, that leads to brokenness, a broken communion. And in order for communion to be reestablished, they must be reconciled with one another. Likewise, when we are in disunion with Christ and his church, we can't really receive the Eucharist in a fruitful way because there's disharmony with us. With us and the Lord. Receiving the Eucharist while in grave sin is, I would say, akin to a man returning to his wife after visiting a prostitute. So it's kind of a challenging thing for us to think about that, but reconciliation is needed. Forgiveness of our sins is needed, and healing is needed if we want to receive and be truly united with our Lord in a fruitful way. Likewise, I would say if a non-Catholic receives the Eucharist, it's kind of akin to a man or a woman uniting themselves bodily before marriage so that they're not committed yet fully in that covenantal relationship. Maybe they're moving towards that, but they're not there yet. And so their union is really premature. So they're not ready for that yet. Likewise, when someone who's not Catholic or not ready to receive receives the Eucharist in that state, they really haven't entered into that covenant with the Christ and his church yet. And so they're not ready fully to receive that Eucharist in a fruitful way. So the Eucharist is a great gift, right? We want to remember that. It's a gift that Christ wants to share with each one of us. He wants to give us himself. He does. But it is a gift that must be received on his own terms, not merely taken as a prize for ourselves, but something that we receive as a lover does, receiving one another in that way. For it to be fruitful, we must be prepared. Now, this can be difficult to accept. And you know, often people feel, if they can't share the Eucharist with us, when we share this teaching about what we believe, it can be really hard for people to receive that. They want to receive the Eucharist, right? We all do. People feel that they're being rejected, or maybe they're being told that they're unworthy or unfit for the Eucharist. But what Christ asks us to do is to belong to his flock. That's what he wants, for us to fully belong to him, and that we be united to him personally, that is, free of grave sin. So it's this desire that Christ has to be united to each one of us, but we can't just pretend that everything's all hunky-dory and that there's no problems here. If there are things that are obstacles, we need to overcome those things too. So, for someone who is not Catholic, or even an unbaptized or a baptized Catholic who objectively is not in union with Christ and his church, for them to receive is not really appropriate. It is even sinful to the degree that they are aware of their disunion with Christ. Now, there are occasions when somebody is invincibly ignorant. That is, they couldn't have known. They couldn't have known that they were not supposed to receive. Sometimes that happens. And it's our responsibility to help clarify and teach these truths. Certainly the priest, that's something I should do. But it's also a part of our obligation to protect those who don't know. And it may be that that someone is not ready to receive the Eucharist, but that they have a desire to receive the Eucharist. And Christ does say to them, come, come, follow me, and I will lead you to that way. If you think about the fact that Jesus, for those years, when he was walking around with his apostles, taught them and helped them to understand his relationship with them, then he shared himself with them at the Last Supper, and that gift is meant to be continued on. So sometimes we have to be reconciled with Jesus before we can really have that union. Other times we need to understand more fully, and do I really want to be a Catholic? Do I accept this? That can be a step that we're called to ask. So we want to appeal to that desire to be loved, to be understood for who we are, right? Christ wants that for us. The truth is written in our hearts, but often it needs to be reawakened or awakened in us. In general, when we have guests, it's our responsibility to inform them about our Catholic teachings about the Eucharist. And those not in a state to receive the Eucharist have really two options when they come to Mass. They may come forward for a blessing from the priest or the deacon. I would say it would be best if they came to those lines if they want a true blessing. A Eucharistic minister can give them a little prayer, but they can't actually bless in the name of the church. So they can do that, and they just cross their arms like this so we know to give them a blessing. But the second option is that they can just stay in the pew. If they're uncomfortable coming forward, they can always just stay in the pew. That's fine too. Those are really two great options for those who are not ready to receive. To receive the Eucharist, we must make a formal commitment to live as a practicing Catholic, live our faith. For some churches, which see communion more as a symbol, receiving, whether it's a cracker or grape juice or whatever they do in their church, that often is representative of a person's desire to be united to Christ and committed to Christ. So that's why for them, when we talk about how we receive communion, it's a little confusing because we have a different view of what it is to receive. So that's where the confusion, I think, comes in. For them, it's a desire to be united to Christ, and we all should have that, right? If you're in church, you probably have on some level, you have a desire to be united to Christ, and that's a good thing. But for us as Catholics, the reception of the Eucharist is an actualized covenant, a relationship that we have entered into. So we're already living that out. It expresses not only a desire, but an actual thing, a union with Christ. And so, to the best of our ability, we want to be ready to receive that gift fully. And before the case, we need to maybe either go to confession or learn about the church more and be received fully into the church. So there's a lot of things that could be said on this, but just a little reminder about that. Christ calls us to follow him, to be members of his flock, and he invites us to the Eucharist banquet. May we follow where the shepherd leads us, and may we continue to invite others who are maybe not yet ready, but who have a desire to be part of the flock. May we invite them to receive this gift as well. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Separated from you, let me never be. From the evil one, protect me. At the hour of my death, call me. And close to you, bid me, that with you, with your saints and angels, I may be praising you forever and ever. Amen.